Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Fifty years ago today, the first Starbucks was opened in Seattle. But something else of note happened that day. A young art student at Portland State University named Carolyn Davidson got a job doing some freelance artwork for a local sporting goods company. They were looking for a company logo, an emblem, something that could be noticed, something that would identify their brand. Carolyn came up with something everyone liked in just a few hours that day. And she was paid a total of $35 for her work. Little did anyone realize then that what she created that day would make history and generate billions and billions of dollars. For that day, Carolyn came up with what we now all recognize as the famous Nike swoosh. It may be the most successful, the most recognizable, the most visible symbol in the world today. Regardless of where you live or what language you speak, everyone knows exactly what it represents, and billions around know the tagline they came up with just a few days later: "Just do it." And even today, graphic designers will tell you it's a symbol without equal in the world of marketing. But in just a few minutes, each of you will soon bear an emblem that is even greater, even more visible, even more powerful. For we will all wear a cross made of ashes. We'll wear it on our foreheads and carry it into the world as a sign of repentance, a sign of sacrifice, a sign of hope. A visible sign that declares to everyone that we are Christians, but we are also sinners. But sinners who desire to change. And the message to ourselves and those around us is the same as the one from Nike: we need to just do it. If you aren't the person you want to be and you want to change, just do it. If you're far from God and you want to be closer to Him, just do it. If you've been putting off going to confession out of fear or shame or simple procrastination, just do it. As St. Paul told us in our second reading, now is the time. This is the time to resolve, to repent, to renew. There's no time like now. We have to just do it. As sinners, we all come together every year on Ash Wednesday to to declare our hopes and strengthen our resolve. And we leave here as marked men and marked women. And the mark we have on our foreheads is like a billboard that announces to the world who we are and what we are. These ashes tell everyone that we are work in progress. We are God's remodeling project, and so we are covered in dust. The dust of what we are, and the dust of what we have yet to become. These marks proclaim exactly who we are. We are Christians. We have been claimed by Christ. We are his sons and daughters. And for that reason, we honor this sacrifice leading up to the most holiest week of our Christian year. We will fast, we will sacrifice, and we will pray for these 6 weeks. But we should begin these 6 weeks hungry. But it's more than just a desire for our favorite food. It's a hunger for a deeper prayer life, a hunger for forgiveness, a hunger to be more of what God created us to be, a hunger for humility, a hunger for peace, peace in our hearts, and peace in our world. And so, yes, we may give up some of those things we love, but we also work to give up those things that make us comfortable, that might make us secure, things that make us feel safe. So if you want to be challenged this Lent, give up pride, give up jealousy, give up judging, give up infighting, give up those posts on Instagram and Facebook, give up tweeting division, give up having to have the last word, give up old grudges and picking at old wounds. But we must not just give up something. We're also called to give something. Give a hand to someone who needs it. Give attention to someone who's lonely or ignored. Give a prayer for someone who has hurt you. We're called to give. We're also called to forgive. For we must give in the way that Jesus gave. You know, we talk a lot about giving alms during Lent. And we're called in a special way to remember those in need. But we must not forget that that word alms comes from a Greek word that actually means mercy. And if we give nothing else, we need to give mercy. The ashes on our brows mark us as Catholic Christians. So we must give tenderness, compassion, and mercy to all. If you can remember that far back at your baptism, the very first thing that happened that day was the sign of the cross was made on your forehead by the priest, deacon, parents, and godparents. Today, we will receive it on our forehead once again. But today, it should remind us also of our mortality, for we remember that our earthly life is just a gift that doesn't last forever, for we are all just dust. But we must hold on to hope and remind ourselves we are a work in progress. For brothers and sisters, here and now, we need to let the progress begin. Now is the very acceptable time. Now is the day to look forward to our salvation. And humbled by the cross that saved us, we must also have faith. Inspired by God's own mercy, we must offer mercy. This Lent, we must all resolve to begin anew. The cross that we will bear represents a power far beyond all other. Today, as the world teeters on the brink of war, today, as evil controls so many of our brothers and sisters, only the cross has the power to save us. Only the cross has the power to save our world. You know, every week, sometimes every day, we read these holy scriptures. We listen to them day after day, week after week. And if we pay attention, we learn. Those holy scriptures instruct us how to use the great power. This Lent, God is giving us the opportunity to save ourselves and our world. This Lent, God is asking us all to just do it.